Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secure retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in. Because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast. I'm the Big Mike.
Mike Zlatnik, and today it is my pleasure and privilege to welcome back my good old friend, Mark Jackson, Mr. MJ. How are you?
Hey,
how are you,
sir? I'm absolutely positively wonderful, Mike. Thanks so much for the gracious invitation. I always enjoy having an opportunity to care and share with you and your audience.
Thank you. And I still remember how you greet people. Blessings and joy. You're always smiling. Blessings, you're always positive. You're always super high energy. And you are hailing now from the sunny Puerto Rico. How is
yes.
it there?
Yeah, it is absolutely gorgeous. Like I say, it's a little bit of paradise, this U.S. territory. And a little plug, was able to complete Ironman number 11 this past Sunday. So that was another little feather in the cap. Just working towards that 50th wedding anniversary. I got two decades to go. So here we go.
I'm amazed. Your successes in business, but you combine that with great successes in physical fitness. You're beyond fit. And we were just chatting before you practice jokes that, like, if you don't behave and everything, your wife said she's going to trade you in. Like,
yeah. I am motivated, man. I am highly motivated. I do not want to get traded in. I kid you.
But you are so fit. You're unbelievable. Like, Iron Man. Iron Man is hard. I don't think I've ever done one tenth of Iron Man. And you're doing Iron Man. Oh, it's 11th one. It's just another milestone on the journey.
There it is. But so is real estate. I mean, there's a lot going on with it these days as well.
So let's talk about real estate. What's new and exciting? You have a book out. Before we dive into real estate,
tell us about your new book.
You have a wonderful book out. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a real joy. It's one of those additional milestones in life, being fully published. Because we serve so many clients, not just domestically, but internationally, I just had the idea, there's these collaboration books, and I invited a number of our investors just to come and say, hey, what is it like for you to be a versatile investor? What's that experience been like? Obviously getting started, the challenges, the opportunities, the successes. So we did, my shameless plug, we did two books, international version and a domestic version. And when I say international, that's just folks that are in Europe, Scotland, Australia, Canada, Israel, Asia, that are deploying money in the U.S. having part of their own American real estate dream. And so they just share what their experience is like. I'm completely giving away the first chapter, complimentary for folks. If you go to investorsuccessstories.com, I'm sure you'll share that in the show notes, but investorsuccessstories.com, grab the first chapter, take a good look at that. If you'll leave us a testimonial on Amazon, I'll give you both copies of the book in PDF format, completely complimentary. But I'm sure they'll find value in it. It has been a joy to guide and be a part of the success of all these investors from different walks of life, different places, East Coast, West Coast. And again, I guess I did mention internationally as well.
Thank you, MJ. So quick question. You showed the book, and this is going to come out in video and audio. In the audio version, what is the name of the book? It's Virtual Investors Success Stories. Is that the book?
That is the book, Virtual Real Estate Investor Success Stories. Yes, 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 yes.
That's wonderful. I don't know why it's virtual, but I guess people can do it from 1,000, 10,000 miles away, and I guess it's called virtual. Maybe that's the current age.
And of course, we're not talking about Meta and digital real estate up in the sky. We're talking about
real investments.
Real investments, hard assets, where you have that feeling of confidence and just sense of control that as you transition into the deal. I mean, we know my background is as a real estate appraiser, and that's what's given me the capacity to be able to look at data in so many different market areas and make really solid, intelligent decisions. And those that are a part of our VIP Plus community, I mean, we have active investors in there, the ones that are identifying and sourcing deals, and then we have so many that are basically the bank. They're just avoiding the trap of lazy money, keeping that capital they don't otherwise have deployed, maybe in a fund or syndication, but it's enough to do a one-off single family deal and get that money going, whether they're going to be an owner of that property or a lender on that property. There is secured by that individual asset, not having to, you know, be in a situation where, you know, some of the qualifications of being an accredited investor are required as compared to doing one-off deals. And so, yes, whether you're in Italy and you're doing a deal in Sarasota, Florida, like we have a client, or if you're, you know, I have a deal right now. We have a client that's in San Jose, California, another one that's in Fort Collins, Colorado, and they're investing in a deal in Georgia together. I mean, it's a, you know, $129,000 deal. And so they're both putting in 50% of the capital, money that otherwise would be doing nothing, or certainly don't want to be earning 3-4% in a savings account. And that is the virtual investing. They're not going to the deal. Technology allows them not only for the data that I share with them presenting a transaction, but let's just say if they have someone else that sends them a deal, right? And they want to be able to make a good decision about deploying that capital. I don't discriminate. It's not just my deals. I want to be able to help you as just a real tactical real estate investor make good decisions about any capital that you deploy. You know, we have clients that ask us, hey, I've got a out of ground self-storage deal that I've got a PPM on and a prospectus in Decatur, Alabama. MJ, what do you think about this transaction? And we go into that. So again, that's still virtual investing. You know, if you've got a person that's in Michigan and they're deploying their capital, they just want to make good decisions. And it's the whole thing of trust but verify. Mike, you've got any number of folks that you're providing images and data, stuff like that. But they trust you. You've done multiple deals. They've even offered referrals. But there's going to be times where all of us are going to be in a situation where we have let someone else look over our shoulder, vet and verify that, hey, yeah, you definitely want to get involved in that deal. Yes, the numbers pan out. Yes, there is employment growth. Yes, there is job growth. Yes, there is rental growth. And if it's single family residential, small multifamily, it's in a market area that is landlord friendly. You're not going to have to go litigate to get somebody out of a property. Those criteria are things that just is good to have another set of eyes with the deal that's brought into you, so you can make really good decisions about transactions. And that's what all this virtual real estate investing allows folks to be able to do, but do so with just a higher sense of confidence.
Yeah, MJ, I appreciate that. You touched on a really interesting topic. I guess we'll dive a little bit into this. So, of course, as folks get to know you and they build know, like, and trust, then you bring the next deal to them, and you specialize in single asset type of deals, typically a loan on a property or maybe ownership of a property, which makes sense. Those are a little bit easier to understand, a little bit easier to underwrite. But what you are just alluded to, the moment folks are trying to invest with somebody else into either a one-off deal or a syndication or another fund, there's a whole new level of complexity and a whole new level of underwriting. And by the way, I've gotten those questions, and these are very tough questions, and I stay out of the business. That is a tough business to provide feedback, because you have to be extremely careful. This is my two cents, right? Just commenting. Sure. You don't want to provide investment advice, right? You have to be licensed for that, to be an RIA, registered investment advisor. And if you're not an RIA, somebody comes in and starts asking you all these questions about somebody else's investment, it gets a very hairy out there. How do you know it's a good investment? And even something that looks really good on paper can later work out or not work out, right? Market conditions could be idiots or could be shysters, right? It just, you just never know. So providing good techniques and tools to help them learn and do it themselves, I think that is a worthy exercise. What is really, really difficult when you have no upside in these deals and you are not even compensated to provide the feedback, I'll just say that's a danger zone to try to provide this feedback. And the most dangerous thing is to be, well, this is free advice. Free advice is incredibly expensive, could be incredibly expensive. So people who are offering free advice, that's stay away, because it's super dangerous. And number one, number two, probably have no idea what they're doing. Another interesting comment on the subject. Yeah, there are interesting opportunities out there, but there are a lot of bright and shiny objects. And you could
Oh my goodness,
run into problems so many ways. So I hope folks at least look at strong referrals at minimum, and then they try to understand. And in this environment, it's gotten very hard to actually do underwriting. It's just the environment changed so much so fast. And we'll transition the discussion because of the interest rates, what has happened.
Right.
So interest rates have moved. I like to call it too fast, too furious. You can call it the whole daisy chain of what transpired. COVID triggered government spending. Government spending triggered inflation. Fed had to respond to all that stuff. Now interest rates up a lot. Some people say this is the new norm, and it can be the new norm. We don't know that. Some people say, well, once inflation comes down, the rates will come down. At least Fed has been saying that. But they just came out of the meeting, and they are still keeping things. No news. I don't know if it's good news or bad news. They're keeping no news for now, just leaving themselves up the optionality. But the underwriting, you're the appraiser. It's gotten very, very hard. Some deals, I'll tell you this. So residential real estate has been a lot steady, even with high interest rates, even though rates hiked, but residential has been a steady rock because of limited supply.
Right.
The commercial front, it's a very different picture. A lot of adjustments.
Very different. Very different.
Well, your valuation because of high interest rates cost much higher cost of financing, much more difficult financing. And as you're investing in these commercial deals, you're investing it based on income approach and cost of money, and the numbers pencil very differently. So all that said, I'll turn the ball over to you, and I'll let you kind of take it from here. What do you think, kind of your sense of what's happening in the U.S. economy, inflation, interest rates, opportunities ahead, and kind of people who are asking you for feedback? Hey, go look at this indication. And I've looked at enough of them to tell you that wide majority of them, to me, is not looking good. I would stay away, far away from them. Rarely ever something looks decent enough. But I just don't want to even say it, because if I'm wrong and that thing goes wrong, then they're going to say, Mike, but you told me it's a good deal. Well, that's why I'm not in the investment advice business.
Yeah, I keep it really simple. First and foremost, the fact that we've had these dynamics where again, coming out of the FOMC meeting, no news is good news, rates are flat. It really just allows the space that I'm in, this, the one-off deals, single family, small multifamily, with that small inventory, just to have still a good inflow of deals where people either are motivated sellers transitioning out of a property, or there's just the stress assets out there that can be acquired at a discount and made market ready. But in terms of projections, I mean, it's an election year. Typically, mortgage rates go down. They have, in terms of overall the activity from the Fed going down, that remains to be seen. I recently have been saying everything, all the basic principles that I utilize as an appraiser for market analysis. But then when it comes to the economy, and my crystal ball is broken, it just doesn't work anymore. Okay, it just doesn't. Fortunately, the valuation components do, and so we're able to rely on those. I mean, even most recent, we're looking at a deal that was commercial with a residential component just south of Oklahoma City, and literally the biggest dynamic on that was the fact that it was owner operated. As soon as you try to apply management from a distance, that impacts the overall cap rate and the numbers and the income. So those are the things that we're able to really analyze very, very well for some of these smaller balance one-off deals. I mean, this thing was less than $500,000 on the acquisition based on location and market area. So I still say there's a potential, because it's an election year, that we'll continue to see mortgage rates go down. I don't know if the FOMC is going to do anything in May. They may make a Fed drop in July. We just saw Europe, one of the first central banks there, actually overnight did an interest rate. We don't know if that's going to trigger anything going forward, but the American economy still remains to be strong. It's just keeping those checks and balances in place so that we don't have a regression, that at least for anything else, we continue to have what's being referred to as a soft landing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The soft landing story appears to be sort of materializing, whatever that means, and it's a hard one to define. But the soft landing sort of maybe it means no serious recession or not even a real recession.
That's right.
But by the way, it's bad news for interest rates. No recession means Fed has limited motivation to act.
Right.
As I've said this so many times, my new favorite term is that the Fed is not a prevent in the prevention medicine, an emergency room doctor. So they got to see a sick patient. Mm-hmm. Right? If the patient is not sick, their motivation to cut is very limited, especially
very limited.
Regression on the inflation is a risk. Inflation is not completely tamed, and we don't even know what the crazy part is. This, and I've talked to a number of people. Normally, you cut. Basically, normally you hike rates, you tighten bank lending condition, that snaps up credit, and normally that slows the economy a lot and puts the economy into a recession, or at least decelerates inflation. This time around, it doesn't exactly work this way.
There's continued job creation that still has come back. I mean, that's been the biggest thing. That's one of the reasons why the Fed really can't do anything. If they lower rates with the new job creation, the amount of money that people are now earning as compared to the stimulus checks, whatever the case may be, that spending with lower interest rates, the opportunity to refinance and then go out and, you know, again, buy more houses, buy more cars, put some more money in a credit card, whatever the case may be, is going to spur inflation right away. So in our small discussion here, that's why the Fed just is holding pat until either the baby's healthy or the baby's sick again. So we're just going to have to wait and see. I love that analogy, emergency room.
Yeah, I spoke to too many smart people and kind of, I don't know where it surfaced, but I don't claim to be original. I just kind of like that whole phrase. The other very interesting discussion, it's just these high interest rates, they disproportionately help certain folks and they disproportionately hurt other folks. And what's really interesting, I'm not taking any political views on this, but we all human and we all live in the world of those who are, let's just call them 80-20, some people call 60-40, 70-30. But majority of the capital is sitting in the hands, the capital, we live in the capitalist society, most of the capital lives in the hands of a few folks. And again, mm-hmm. I'm not advocating anything to the opposite. Remember, I'm a political refugee from the communist regime. So I don't like communism, I don't like socialism, I'm more of a middle-of-the-road capitalist, let me put it this way. But mm-hmm. I can tell you that a lot of folks that work paycheck to paycheck, the high interest rates are causing more grief. Many of these folks using credit cards to spend, and they're paying higher credit card balances. And then you go on the other side of the spectrum, folks who have large savings, largely have a lot of capital, they benefited from the fact that the capital is now earning actually a decent rate of return. So it's kind of interesting that the basic philosophy like this. And the other very, very interesting point is the fact that the rates are so much higher that it's actually forcing more dollars to flow on the bonds to investors. Mm-hmm. And they get higher rates of return. It creates more money in their pocket, right? And they go spend more. Mm-hmm. So high interest rates, as much as they slow down the economy, they actually can create further inflationary pressures. So let's talk about more things you're doing. So where you see opportunities right now, the rest of 2024, again, one-off deals here and there, but are you doing anything mm-hmm. bigger, or are you just doing a lot of these bite-sized transactions and people working with you with investor comps, or are they just providing some capital, some of your deals? I'm just curious, what innovation or what expansion or what new opportunities you're seeing, or it's just all good old boring that works. If it works, it works, right?
Man, good old boring works. Buffett says hard times call for hard assets. And so that's that. I do what I know best in terms of utilizing my skills as a former real estate appraiser. And it just continues to create value for our clients, especially in that passive income space. I mean, a true passive income. So many practice professionals, they're earning good money. They're getting advice from different places, but they don't have someone that's going to walk hand in hand with them And so I utilize that space. I mean, my daughter's a dentist. So in that space, I've got, probably, a couple hundred clients that are also dentists that earn a really good living, but don't always have someone other than their advisor to tell them to put everything in a 401k and in the markets to have that stable asset that's going to produce over time and then actually appreciate and provide them some additional hedge against inflation returns. And so that's the space we operate. We're very, very strategic. We're still looking at tertiary markets. Again, those that have job growth, that have income growth, that have rental growth, and certainly are landlord-friendly states. Here in the territory of Puerto Rico, we continue to expand and offer opportunities for investors here. We did a fairly large project on a first position note, undivided interest for some clients. And so it was 9 months. That one was a flat, it was 16%. So essentially it's 1% per month is how that one pans out. And then a couple of points. We went into that one in December, comes out in September. And so that's a really good project. A little bit of commercial on a lower level and then apartments above. Renovation is going great. And again, just a little bit smaller contracted time frame. And then of course, there's the things that we do in Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Northwest Indiana, and then the market just outside, well, Wayne County, Detroit, there in Michigan. Again, good, longstanding, hard assets that perform very well. And we have a little bit of activity in Oklahoma City as well. And so each of those has allowed us to stay very, very busy, helping a number of clients to deploy capital for their good success. But you realize too, Mike, I mean, there's other residual components. You've got someone that's got a really good home. They're stabilized. They can send their kids to school, have a place to transition back and forth from work. We really look at our markets that we've solidified our positions in for good success very, very carefully, and that we have all the vendors that we need to really make sure those houses turn over and they're ready for the next person to come and live in them. So bigger projects may be down the road. The paperwork's ready. Should I ever find a really good deal that I want to offer a syndication on? That type of thing. It's ready to go, but doing one-off deals is really helping us stick to our mantra. Avoid the trap of lazy money. Keep that capital working when you just don't have enough to do or deploy into a larger requirement, $500,000 requirement, $100,000 requirement, high up for 5 or 7 years. That smaller balance money's got to get to working as well. We're right there to support clients in that way.
Yeah, I appreciate that overview and all the markets that you do business in. I concur with you. Do what you understand, what you know. The moment you get outside of your lane, is a danger that you can go into unknown territory, and all real estate is local. It's kind of interesting
Well, I
that
mean
you said that.
that's our relationship, man. I mean, flowing folks over to Temple Family Fund, that type of thing. So you could be in a situation where you can handle those bigger amounts of capital, and then you throw me some folks that in a situation where they've got a little bit left over. But that's the niche. You do, Mike, the analysis that you do, the numbers that you crunch, the underwriting you do. I barely scratch the surface in terms of understanding it all, but it's because of the relationship and the past performance that we've been able to do business together in the past. Of course, now I did it, borrow money for a single family deal, but you were right there, understood my business, I understood yours, and we were able to do things together.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't claim anything other than we are all scholars and students, and we're all learning, and we all are human, and we all make mistakes, and we all learn, and we get better. It's kind of the journey of life is just full of let me put it this way. I was just a guest on another person's podcast. It's
Yeah.
kind of come out, one of the CG guys, and he was digging into my past and really asking me questions and some of the wisdoms that kind of I learned years ago, and went back all the way to my childhood. And he was asking about, my family. I talked about kind of my sad story. I'm not gonna spend too much with my father passing in the former Soviet Union, and we're a Jewish family, and kind of the theories we have that the commies killed him with experimental drugs, and it's just this terrible story. And I went back, and he asked me the questions, what lessons have you learned from your father? Like, really important. If you go back and you think, And it really got me thinking back, really back, and thinking, I learned a lot from my father. There's certain things I learned all my life, and they come back, and there's a fundamental truth to this. And so, one of the things that came back is this. And my father was a chess master, and I'm a chess master, and I've been learning chess, playing chess all my life. And chess is one of those great games, and we call it a sport, even though it's not a physical sport, it's a mental sport. But where I'm going with this that chess is a great medium to learn. Because the way you learn chess is you learn chess by analyzing the games of great players, grandmasters, world champions, and also you learn from the analysis of your own games, from the games you played. You basically document the games, you look at the post games, and then you go through the moves you made. And then you try to learn from the mistakes that you made yourself. You know what my father told me after we analyzed one of my old games? He said, he asked me the question, so did you learn from the mistakes we just discovered, we just analyzed? I said, yes, father, yes, dad, I learned from my mistakes. Are you going to make the same mistakes again? He says, no, I'm not going to make the same mistakes again because I learned my lesson. That's wonderful. He said, you know what? You're going to make some new mistakes. Be prepared for that. The truth about life, it's a continuous learning, it's a continuous journey. Don't ever, the more you know, the more you don't know. So you just got to be prepared and you got to be smart and dynamic and continue to evolve with times and with environment and so on. So
That is tremendous wisdom. I think of that, I'm not sure how long your dad's been gone. I lost my dad a number of years ago, but isn't it amazing that in that internal, paternal relationship, that even today, regardless of how long, it seems like they're smarter now than when they were with you. It's just amazing the empirical part of that, that will stay with you all your days, even as you pass it on to your own children as well. So there's a legacy component there.
it's a legacy and there's a great wisdom, and it's one of those things where I wear glasses, and you ever seen this joke, this exercise like this: where are my glasses? When I put my glasses on my forehead, I can't see anything, but I can't see where my glasses. The way it works is if you look from a distance, of course you're going to see where the glasses, they're either on you or not. But when you're very close, you can't see. The more time passes, sometimes these lessons become obvious. The time actually creates the distance, and you perceive things in time. So,
There you go. There you go.
any interesting wisdom from you like this? We're gonna come sort of to this episode to an end.
Yes.
I'd say this: all good things must come to an end, unfortunately. So does this episode. But any wisdoms? Any obviously great books? Mention your book again, and how would folks get a hold of you?
Yeah, without a doubt. Great way to engage simple is themarkjackson.com. Just a great way to catch up, schedule calls, that type of thing. Would love to have an opportunity to engage and do follow up on things that maybe you heard on this episode that we couldn't go deep into. I always utilize, I think I mentioned Warren Buffett's phrase, hard times call for hard assets. But I always say, when you're into making goals, stuff like that, always make sure your actions match your desired results. If there's something that you're expressing, certainly write it down, but then get into the place that you're actually doing things that are moving you towards that goal. Don't just talk about it. If it's something you're definitively going to do, make sure that your actions match your desired results. And of course, yes, do go ahead and grab a free complimentary copy of the first chapter of Investor Success Stories. Leave us a brief welcoming testimonial on Amazon and send it to us, and we will absolutely positively gift you both copies of the book.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to bigmikefund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike's slot name. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.